It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, National Post columnist, and writing for the British audience in Unheard. Comments on the recent embassy by the President of the United States to Scotland for golfing on his course, and then to meet with the President of the European Commission, Ms. von der Leyen, and then go on to meet with the Prime Minister of Great Britain. That would be Keir Starmer. The president will return to Great Britain in September, I'm told, for a state visit in which he'll spend time with his longtime colleague, the King of England, King Charles III, for many years. However, Conrad has written a very witty column, at least I think it's witty, about the president's conduct during his golfing and comments before and after events. And Conrad says that the British public has to stop flapping their arms at the president's stylistic infelicities. Made me laugh. I stopped reading. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Flapping their arms is a wonderful way to approach the very poker-faced Mr. Starmer. I don't remember him flapping his arms, but let's speak to the rest of the population. What is it about Mr. Trump that strikes them as unusual? Good evening to you.
Yeah. Good evening to you, John. You know, I got that expression from your long ago Secretary of State, Dean Acheson, Mr. Truman's Secretary of State after General Marshall.
Yes.
And he said that, who was, by the way, half Canadian. His mother was Canadian. And Gooderham, his middle name, is a prominent family in this country. But Mr. Acheson referred to the Canadian foreign policy establishment at that time. The foreign minister was Mr. Pearson, subsequently prime minister, won a Nobel Peace Prize, and he referred to them as arm-flapping moralists. It was a hilarious comment at the time. I mean, I was very young then, but so it just came to mind, you know, that the British were fussing and fidgeting about aspects of President Trump's personality and not focusing on what he was actually doing.
Well, he was there to play golf, of course, but
and open his golf course.
Yes,
you know.
But you present the fact that the British, let's say the commentariat, are puzzled by not only Mr. Trump but the whole American style, and you present this in extremes, and you use the word jungle. How so, Conrad?
Well, look, by British and Canadian standards, it is a rough society. It has a social safety net that is less of a hammock, to use what the capitalists call it, than in Britain or Canada. And the level of litigation in the country is completely unlike Britain or Canada. I mean, in the United States, everybody is suing everybody else for something all the time. The percentage of GDP consumed by legal fees and litigation costs is far higher as a percentage than it is in these other countries. And it's a highly competitive society, and that's the strength of it, you know, that there's this tremendous fermentation and level of creativity in every field. But, an inordinate number of people are pushed onto the wayside, and for a rich country, there are a lot of poor people in it. But it's a different, you know. As I wrote, it's a democracy like Britain and Canada are. And in a democracy, the people can run it however they want. So, but it is different. I mean, you see, in Britain, and you must have encountered this, John, there is a temptation in places like The Economist magazine, for example, to think that the United States is really rather like Britain. It's just larger and as a, you know, perhaps a greater ethnic variety or something, but it's just sort of like Britain, only it's a bigger country. And you know, it isn't really like Britain. And everybody speaks, or almost everybody speaks English, but it is a very different society, and the British don't, for the most part, realize that.
I puzzle. This is an opportunity to ask this question for some time. The really smart set write for the newspapers and magazines. You mentioned The Economist. There's the Financial Times. There are clever writers at The Guardian. There are clever writers at The Telegraph. I read them. And when it comes to the United States, there's often a temptation to be condescending or to forgive us for our weaknesses. Where does that come from? Is that part of the education system that the U.S. is just a little brother?
No, I don't think that's it. I think it is traditional envy. By the way, I would exempt the Telegraph from that. I think they're quite respectful of the U.S. But bear in mind, the Guardian is a left-wing paper. And in general, the international left doesn't like the United States. And the you know, the BBC would be the same. Now, the Financial Times is, by American standards, somewhat left-wing. They're kind of a big government globalist paper, but they are capitalists. But I think where it comes from is it started with the fact that the British have never understood what the American complaint was in the Revolution, because they doubled their national debt. Now, not one person in 100 in Britain could explain this now, but this is, I think, where it started. The British doubled their national debt in the Seven Years' War, and their biggest single expense was getting the French out of Canada, which Benjamin Franklin represented six as they became states, American colonies in London, and particularly Pennsylvania. And he had agitated for this, and the British did it. But at the end of it, they said, look, we've doubled our national debt. We did it largely for you. You're the wealthiest British people. You have a higher standard of living than we have here in the home country. So we want you to pay the taxes we're paying so we can retire this debt. And that's when, you know, now they didn't do it right, and they made a terrible mess of it. But from their standpoint, what they were asking was not unreasonable. But, you know, Jefferson started up this business of no taxation without representation and so on. And then the revolution happened. And to the annoyance of the British, this smallish, faraway country just grew like a, you know, rose like a rocket. And in 50 years had a bigger population than Britain did. And frankly, the British are envious. I mean, they wish they were a huge country like the United States.
And the puzzle then comes to education as well. I always feel that I'm being lectured by an Oxbridge labor member. Is that what it's supposed to sound like?
Well, you see, the British think that they speak English better than the Americans did. That's why I always regretted that Bill Buckley, William F. Buckley, did not accept President Reagan's invitation to become the ambassador in Britain. Because he really would have impressed the British, as some ambassadors have. David Bruce did, even Ray Seitz did. But they think they speak better than the Americans, but they admit that the Americans' knowledge of arithmetic is better. I mean, it's the old joke, you see. They would say that the British are not terribly numerate, but the Americans aren't terribly literate. Now, these are caricatures, of course. It's basically nonsense now. But this is one area. The British feel English is their language and that they are better at it than the Americans. Now, that is, as you said, that's kind of an Oxbridge view. You just, you know, spoke to the doorman of Claridge's Hotel or something, he wouldn't think that. He wouldn't think anything like that. And the British don't dislike Americans as people. They're just envious of the power of the country, that's all.
Conrad Black, observing the British response to President Trump, was struck by, again, his stylistic infelicities.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.